Welcome to Remnant Voice Podcast. We hope you enjoyed this episode brought to you by Pastor Jason Armstrong. For more information on this episode and other podcasts, please go to remnantvoice.tv or email info@remnantvoice.tv.
What's up, Remnant Nation? Thanks for tuning in to the Remnant Voice Podcast. I'm your host, Jason Armstrong. If you missed last week's episode, we made an amazing announcement, a great announcement about the podcast. Remnant Voice is now going to be broadcasted on Charisma Media, the Charisma Podcast Network. We've partnered with them to kind of amplify the sound, to get this message out as well. So we're on the Awakening Podcast Network as well as Charisma Podcast Network. So these are two major networks that the Lord has released his favor upon him, and we've been able to get this podcast on their network. So thankful for all the support and the prayers on that, and we know that he's releasing that his message out, and he's broadcasting that message out. So on this week's episode, again, if you missed last week's episode, we had another announcement that we are now going to be weekly. Every Tuesday, be looking for these podcasts to drop. So just go ahead and get used to it, set your schedule to it, anticipate it. It'll be a mixture of teachings that we go through full teachings. We'll break the teachings up as the Lord leads, and also I've got interviews scheduled out for voices. You know, that's the one thing when we launched this podcast that the Lord gave me Remnant Voice. He said he's always got a remnant, and that remnant has a voice, and part of that is to find those voices out there and bring them together and then amplify those voices out throughout the land. So we've got some amazing interviews lined up that'll be coming on, sharing what the Lord is speaking to them. Maybe it's what he's speaking to you. And so anyway, those are things that are going to be coming about each Tuesday. Each Tuesday, watch for the podcast to drop. So now, let's go right back in. If this is going to be part two and the final part of A Time to Advance. So the Lord had been, this was a Wednesday night message back on May the 20th. And you can actually go watch, if you want to watch this message, you can watch it and participate in the worship, Summit Worship. And Zach and the team are amazing. They steward the presence well. So if you want to add some worship to this thing, you can go check out the YouTube page. I'll post links in the description. And you can go find the message there. So we're going to go into part two of this, A Time to Advance. That we've been stewarding a revelation about going through the gates and the gates of influence, the gates of society, and how we as the church, as the ecclesia, as the legislative body, are to be speaking truth at the gates. The Lord said that there would be a spirit of justice at the gates. You know, that tells me there's going to be a spirit of injustice and lawlessness at the gates. By that. So, and we're seeing that play out throughout the land. 100% we're seeing that. And the church has the only answer called kingdom. It's the Father's throne, which is founded in righteousness and justice, and it's founded in love, is the only answer that can, a united church can help heal a divided land. And so we're going to see that happen as we rise up into who we are called to be and actually start not just speaking truth at the gates, but establishing justice in the gates. So again, thank you guys for tuning into this podcast. Again, it will be going weekly. So every Tuesday, be watching for us. And now we're going to get right back into this final part, second part of A Time to Advance.
Isaiah 28:5-6. It says, in that day, the Lord of hosts will be for a crown of glory and a diadem of beauty to the remnant of his people. Verse 6, for a spirit of justice to him who sits in judgment, and for strength to those who turn back the battle at the gate. I believe we're entering in a spirit of justice for the battles that are at the gates. I believe one of the assignments on this house is to function in that spirit of justice, righteousness married with justice, which is the foundation of his throne. I believe we're receiving a measure of inheritance of that spirit of justice to be able to go out to the gates and battle at the gates. To say, no, sir, What you're calling good is actually evil. Because you're coming from a lesser reality. Let me speak truth to the gates. Let me speak truth into these gates. And it's time for us, we did a message back this fall and how prevalent it is now. I was like, my gosh, are you mantled or muzzled? And I'm seeing it. I'm seeing it happen. A lot of people right now, they're either being mantled or muzzled. If you want to go a little bit further, like we said in the leadership gathering down here, especially concerning after the children, you'll be mantled. He's releasing two things, either mantles or millstones. How are you stewarding the children? I know this is a little heavy, but that's all right. You can bear the weight of it. Amos 5:14-15. Amos 5:4. I'm giving you a lot of scripture tonight. I want you to see this. Seek good and not evil, that you may live, and thus may the Lord God of hosts be with you, just as you have said. Hate evil, love good, and establish justice in the gate. Establish justice in the gate. Spirit of justice. Speak truth into the gate. Establish justice. It's more than just speaking it. Come on. Speaking's the easy part. Establishing's the hard part. I can speak and prophesy all day long about God overturning Roe v. Wade. But if I'm not at the same time crying out for a spirit of adoption to be released and actually looking for ways to speak and pray with the same fervency that I'm praying for Roe v. Wade to overturn, I'm praying for a reformation in the foster care system. I'm looking and asking the Lord for strategies. How do we build a kingdom structure, a kingdom vessel that will ease the burden of the foster care system and do things right with righteousness and justice? What does a kingdom adoption center look like? Let me just put it in plain terms. What does a kingdom adoption center look like?
Yes.
That's more than just speaking with a spirit of justice, that's establishing justice in the gates.
Yes.
See, we love open doors, we love open gates, but we don't always love what's on the other side of the gates. I've heard it prophesied, I've read all kinds of things about year of double door and double this and double that, and I was like, last I checked, when there was an effectual door open, on the other side of that effectual door was many adversities and many adversaries. And so, know this, in the time of advancement, in the time to advance, there's going to be adversaries. But are you still willing to go through the gate? Go through the gate. Why do you think he had to say it twice? Go through. Then I get to the gate and I'm like, oh my goodness, adversary. And then the second word comes, go through the gate. Oh man, okay. You know what's through the other gate? Work. That's such a four-letter word in the church. Work. If you've been around here any minute, you've heard me say co-laborer versus co-lazy. We're called to be co-laborers, not co-lazy. He said, go through the gates, go through the gates. And then he says, prepare the way, prepare the people. You know what that means? That means get that's a forerunning thing to get the stones out of the road so that it makes it easier for those coming behind you. That means some of you may have to pioneer through the gate.
Yeah.
And it's going to be rough. It's going to stink. It's going to be hot. It's going to be sweaty. It's going to be miserable. But it's going to be glorious.
Yes.
You know what's going to happen? many will start following after because you've prepared the way. Thank you. Why do you think the church is going to lead the way?
Come on.
Out of quarantine.
Yes.
Come on. Yeah, we may get mocked. Our reputation may get ridiculed. But I don't care about earthly reputation as much as I do the Father's affirmation. I care much more about how my name is written in His book than how it's written on Facebook. Selah. Says Paul in 1 Corinthians, that's where we're pulling from here. I'm telling you, if you make a plan for advancement, go ahead and plan for adversaries. That's going through the gate called wisdom. It says, Paul says, but I will come to you after I go through Macedonia, for I'm going through Macedonia, and perhaps I will stay with you and even spend the winter so that you may send me on my way wherever I may go. For I do not wish to see you now just in passing, for I hope to remain with you for some time, if the Lord permits. But I will remain in Ephesus until Pentecost. Notice after he remained in Ephesus until Pentecost, and then after Pentecost, it says there was a wide door open. Come on. I'm expectant for a door opening in just a few weeks. I think there's going to be effectual door open. And yes, I know there's adversaries. I've already counted the cost on the other side of that. But I'm expectant for the advancement of the kingdom. It says, for a wide door of effective service has opened to me, and there are many adversaries. That word effective service comes from the same word where we get energy. It's energes. The root word of energes is ergon. You know what ergon means? Work. Work. So he's saying there's a wide door of work has opened to me. A wide door of work has opened for me. And there's many adversaries over there too. Whew, sign me up. Come on. See, that wasn't the first time anything like that happened. There's been many, many times where God sends an assignment. He sends an assignment for the people of God to get to work, to build something in the land that can house His presence so the nations can come to it. And there was many adversaries. Go to the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah. Let's go. Yeah, let's look at Nehemiah chapter 1. We'll start there first. It says, see, the Jews have been in Babylonian captivity and they're on their way out. Verse chapter 1 and verse 3 says, and they said to me, the remnant there in the province who survived the captivity are in great distress and reproach. And the wall of Jerusalem is broken down. And look here, and its gates are burned with fire. Its gates are, the walls are broken down and the gates are burned with fire. And verse 4 says, it came when I heard these words, I sat down and I wept and I mourned for days. And I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. And I said, I beseech thee, O Lord, God of heaven, the great and awesome God who preserves the covenant and loving kindness for those who love him and keep his commandments. Let thy ear now be attentive, thy eyes open to hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now day and night on behalf of the sons of Israel, the servants confessing the sins of the sons of Israel. So here's Nehemiah taking on the burden of national sin. He's taken on the burden of the nation's sin, and he's in a constant state of prayer and fasting day and night. Come on. Mike Bickle didn't start the first IHOP. Nehemiah did. Come on. I love Mike Bickle. I mean, it's awesome. So he's saying day and night, he's crying out. He said, we've acted very corruptly against thee and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the ordinances which thou did command thy servant Moses. Remember the word thou did command thy servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the peoples. But if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, those of you who have been scattered were in the most remote part of the heavens, I will gather them from there and I will bring them to the place which I have chosen to put my name and dwell. So what did Nehemiah do? He didn't just go out. He got the burden of the Lord. He said, the walls are broken down. The gates are burned with fire. This is not the way it's supposed to look. And so he said, he recognizes and he knows this is a result of sin and forsaking the covenant and forsaking the commands. And so he goes into a mode of intercession. He goes into a mode of fasting and prayer night and day, receiving the burden of the Lord and repenting on behalf of the nation, not just his people, just him, but the whole nation. He bears the weight of that and says, Oh Lord, let me just put it in modern terms. Oh Lord, the Holocaust of abortion that's been happening in this nation since Roe v. Wade, the 60 million babies that's been slaughtered since then, the sex trafficking trade that's going on right in front of our eyes, and yet we're still addicted and watching porn and giving permission for it. And so we're all this stuff going on, Lord. You know, he's bearing the weight of it and crying out, saying, God, overturn it. You're a God of covenant. And he said, I remember this is the side of the covenant when we disobey. This would happen. But if we were to obey, there's another side of the covenant called the redemptive side of the covenant, that you would bring us back into the land of our inheritance. You would bring us back. And so he makes intercession, and then he gets the strategy of the Lord. He gets the strategy of the Lord. And the word of the Lord comes to him. He says, arise and build. Hallelujah. Arise and build. You know what those words are? Advancement. A time to advance. It's like, no, it's no longer a time to sit and just bear the cup of this. There's a greater cup I want you to bear, and it's called the cup of the kingdom. His identity shifted. His service shifted. He went from a cup bearer to a construction worker. Come on. Well, I did this in this past season, or maybe I was this way in the past era, but now it's a new era and there's a new assignment. Oh, come on. Hallelujah. Yeah. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. It's a new era and there's a new assignment. Man, think of that. You were faithful with the cup, and now he's called you to be a construction worker and build the kingdom. Stewarding a cup in the kingdom to hang in its walls and gates. Nehemiah 2:9. I'm just going to highlight through this real quick. It says, then I came to the governors of the provinces beyond the river and gave them the king's letters. Now the king had sent with me officers of the army and horsemen. You know who was backing this building project? The army of the king. Come on. You know who's going to who's going to back this next advancement? Amen. The army of the king. You know who's going to back this new era of assignment of arise and build? The army of the king. Now, people are not going to like to hear this. It says in that very next verse, Sanballat and Tobiah got wind of it. They're doing what? They're doing what? They're gathering?
Come on.
They're gathering? Yeah, because we've got an assignment to build.
That's right.
But they don't have masks on. Problem is, too many people have been wearing masks to church for a long time. They're just a little more fleshy covered. now that we can just see the mask. It says, when Sanballat and the Horonite and the Ammonite official heard about it, they were very displeasing to them that someone had come to seek the welfare of the sons of Israel. Verse 12, it says, this is Nehemiah. Before you got to build, you've got to drop the plumb line. You've got to inspect things. I don't know if you've been around here for a little bit. If you've been, those of you watching online or listening on podcasts, we've dropped the plumb line. Because we've been surveying each thing we've been doing. Why? Because the Lord's building and advancing something. We want to make sure we're in alignment. And so verse 12 says, and I arose in the night and a few men with me. And I did not tell anyone what my God was putting into my hand to do for Jerusalem. And there was no animal with me except the animal which I was riding. So it goes on down and he goes and inspects. He goes through the valley gate. He goes through the dragon's well. He goes through all the different gates. He's inspecting the gates. So his first assignment before he built anything was go look at the gates. Come on. Inspect the gates. See how they are before you build. He says, then he goes on and passed, and verse 16, and the officials did not know where I had gone or what I had done, nor had yet told the Jews, the priests, the nobles, or officials. See, when you're in a season of advancement, not everybody needs to know. They don't need to know the fullness of what you're doing, because when they do, it gives more people to start mocking, and it increases the voices of hindrance around you that's unnecessary. And so that's why we're not being, when there's a movement happening, you're not necessarily being secretive, you're being strategic. It's all about the motive there. Verse 17, I said to them, you see the bad situation we are in. The Jerusalem is desolate and its gates are burned by fire. Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem that we may no longer be a reproach. And again, on down in verse 18, let us arise and build. So they put their hands, and I love this, it says, to the good work. Work can be good. Come on, the good work. When you start marrying that word, those two words together, good work. But of course, when they started actually putting their hands to it, look at what it says in verse 19, Sanballat comes up again. And Tobiah comes up again, and they mocked us. So they're laughing. They thought it was funny. And look at this phrase here. What is this thing you are doing? Are you rebelling against the king? What is this thing you're doing here? Are you rebelling against the king? We're not rebelling. We're advancing. See, when you understand inheritance, you'll understand how we can advance in a time like this. So I answered and said to them, the God of heaven will give us success. Therefore, his servants will arise and build, but you have no portion nor right or no memorial in Jerusalem. See, those people that are disconnected from inheritance, they'll never understand or even appreciate the cost to arise and build, even in the midst of adversity. But when you understand inheritance, you can't help but obey the call to arise and build and advance in a time of adversity. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You just reminded me a few weeks ago, we did the message about the plumb line and the pendulum, and the fifth one that he added was advance. Thank you, Lord. He just brought back that to my memory right now. So I'm telling you, it's time to advance. Verse 4, or chapter 4, verse 1. I'm going to hit some highlights here and we're going to land this thing. Now it came about when Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, he became furious and very angry and mocked the Jews. So he thought it was funny and at the first of it, then he went from funny to furious. Whoa, I can't believe you're doing that. Now, how dare you endanger the lives of people? Selah. I care more about their spiritual state than I do anything. So they keep having some little bit of hindrances, but they keep advancing. They have adversity, but they keep advancing. Adversity, but keep advancing. Verse 6, so we built the wall, and the whole wall was joined together, half its height, for the people had a mind to work. The word mind there translates heart. And I want to make the distinction there. You can have it in your head that you want to advance, but if your heart's not connected, you'll never advance. If your heart's not in it, you're not going to advance. You can confess and have an intellectual assent and say, yeah, I'm with you. Yeah, I'm going to advance. But if your heart's not in it, you'll never advance. Verse 8, conspiracy theory. And all of them conspired together. You mean there was a conspiracy theory against the church? You mean there was a conspiracy theory against Nehemiah trying to build and advance the kingdom? Surely not. The devil does nothing like that today. But what was the response in verse 9? That we prayed to our God. And because of them, we set up a guard against them day and night. So you know what they did? Okay, yeah, I understand there's some conspiracy things going on. But I'm going to give myself to prayer. This thing started in prayer. It's going to continue in prayer. And it's going to finish in prayer. And so they gave themselves to prayer and watch while they were building. So what do you do in the midst of adversity? Give yourself to prayer. And keep yourself in His hands during that time. Shelter yourself in place in the Most High. Not the lesser highs. And it says, now here's what happened. They went from thinking it was funny and, that's cute. Yeah, you guys are good and good for you. And then they started actually building. People started gathering. Then people from other churches started coming and started coming in with them. And then people went from funny to now they're furious. Now from furious, they went to the next level called murder. What? Look here. And the enemy said, they will not know or see until we come among them and kill them and put a stop to their work. They were so ready to get, they were so hateful at the fact that these people were rebuilding the walls and filling in the gates. See, the temple had already been rebuilt, but now the walls to protect it and the gates were trying to be hanged up. And so the breaches started getting filled. The people were coming together. They all had a mind to work together. And then Sanballat and Tobias are really mad now because they're actually seeing the progress of the advancement in the midst of adversity. And so they're like, well, if we can sneak in and kill them, then that'll stop the work. Maybe secretly, I think it was Prophet Ron that mentioned the other day about, you know, if you, in the Old Testament, you had to actually commit adultery physically. New Testament, you just look at a woman of lust, you've already done it. Old Testament, you had to physically commit murder. But in the New Testament, how do you commit murder? Come on. With your what? Oh, or your gate. So I can't believe they're advancing and arising and they're building and all that. I can't believe that and sending murderous slander to one another. Verse 13, I stationed men in the lowest part space behind the wall. See how you advance? You advance. You got to go low. You got to go low to advance. When I saw their fear, I rose and spoke to the nobles and officials and the rest of them. Do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome and fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. That's a fivefold fight. The fear, people had conspired against the advancement. Adversity has come. Adversary has come. The Lord gave an assignment to build up His Jerusalem, to build up the walls, to fill in the gaps, hang the gates because He's wanting to come down in His glory so that He can be a light to all the nations. And they they could come in. But there were people that were set out against that because they were upset that what was going on, and they tried to hinder the work because of fear. And then again, the people were starting to get in fear, but Nehemiah released a call and said, we're not going to bow to this fear. We're going to keep our mind set on the advancement, even in the midst of this adversity. It's a time for us to advance. So I want you to grab your trowel. I want you to grab your sword. Get in the lowest parts of the wall. And I'm going to release a sound to work, and I'm going to release a sound to war. And whenever you hear the distinct sound, depending on which one it is, you'll know which weapon to use. And I'm going to posture you and position you by order of your family on the wall so that you can do this as a family. And so when the wall got built and the gaps got filled, guess who came around again? Sanballat and Tobiah. This is Nehemiah had built the wall in chapter 6. He had built the wall. There had been no breaches in it. But he said, at that time, I had not quite set up the door and the gates. See, this attack was about the gates, coming after the gates. And the last attack here, verse 10. And when I entered the house of the Lord, Shemaiah the son of Deliah, son of Metabal, who was confined at home. Verse 10, chapter 6, verse 10. I want you to look at this. The decree came out. It says he was confined at home in the midst of the advancement. And he said, let us meet together in the house of God within the temple, and let us close the doors of the temple, for they are coming to kill you and are coming to kill you at night. Nehemiah said, I'm not going to hide out behind the closed doors and being confined at home. We're not going to close the doors of the temple. He said, but should a man like me flee? Should I such go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in. He said, then I perceived that surely God had not sent them, but uttered his prophecy against me because Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. He was hired for this reason, that I might be frightened and act accordingly in sin, so that I might have an evil report in order that they could reproach me. It says, remember, O God, Tobiah and Sanballat according to these works of theirs, and also Noadiah as the prophetess and the rest of the prophets who were trying to frighten me. See that? He's trying to get them confined in home so they wouldn't advance the kingdom. You can't make this stuff up. Just stay in your home. Don't go build and don't advance. Nehemiah 6:10. It's right there. He said, no, I'm going to build. It's time to advance. See, we've got to know and discern that it's time for us to advance. And there's gates. You've been assigned certain gates. He's given you gates and spheres of authority to walk through to take these mountains. And yeah, I'm talking about Smoky Mountains as well as the mountains of influence. I'm going to close out with this here. The focus on the Second Great Awakening was mostly on personal salvation experienced in the revival meetings. It accomplished far more than that, though, for it had a greater impact on secular society than any other American history through its vast social concern. Through a multitude of channels, this revival encouraged Christians to become involved in causes dealing with prison reform, temperance, women's suffrage, and the crusade to abolish slavery. The Second Great Awakening. It wasn't just for the church. It was to be transformative to society. It came through the gate of the church so that it could go out to the gates of the rest of the mountains. Charles Finney, one of the greatest preachers in the 1800s, became president of Oberlin College in Ohio. He strongly supported freedom of the slaves, and the college was a busy station for the Underground Railroad. In a time when it was shame to look upon that. It was forbidden. You weren't supposed to be doing that. A preacher who was the head of a college said, I'm going to use this college as an underground railroad. But what if that had been somebody else at the head of that college? I hope you're hearing me. This is... Oberlin was among the first American colleges to co-educate African Americans and women with white men. Talking about reformation and transformation. Says Finney also helped to form a great network of volunteer societies organized to aid in solving social problems. By 1834, the budget of these societies was nearly as large as the federal budget of that time. During the revivals that Finney held in Boston, 50,000 people put their faith in Christ in just 1 week. Finney was always demanded a verdict from his question, what will you do with Jesus Christ? Perhaps that fitting description was what happened across America through the Second Great Awakening. Hundreds of thousands put their faith in Christ and went to an exert profound spiritual and social impact in their day. So Charles Finney said, I recognize these gates. I recognize these mountains. I recognize the social injustices that are out there. And throughout this second great awakening, let the power of God come through so it can posture me to take the gate of education so I can be in this place to use the gate of education as a passageway for the Underground Railroad to help abolish slavery in the land. But are we willing to go there? Last one, I promise. Stand to your feet. In 1775, the Lutheran pastor John Peter Gabriel Muhlenberg preached a sermon on Ecclesiastes 3:1. He says, to everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven. Concluding his message, he declared in the language of the Holy Writ, there is a time for all things. There is a time to preach and a time to fight. And now is the time to fight. He then threw off his clerical robes to reveal the uniform of a Revolutionary Army officer. That afternoon, at the head of 300 men, he marched off to join General Washington's troops and became colonel of the 8th Virginia Regiment. Ministers turned their colonial resistance into a righteous cause and served at every level in the conflict, from military chaplains to members of state legislators to taking up arms and leading troops into battle. And ultimately, after two main British armies were captured by the Continental Army at Saratoga in 1777 and Yorktown in 1781, the other words of Patrick Henry to his fellow Virginians proved true. 3 millions of people armed with the holy cause of liberty. And in such a country as that which we possess are invincible by any force which our enemy can send against us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Harry Truman, 33rd president, said this. The fundamental basis of this nation's laws was given to Moses on the mountain. The fundamental basis of our Bill of Rights comes from the teachings we get from Exodus and from St. Matthew, from Prophet Isaiah and St. Paul. If we don't have a proper fundamental moral background, we will finally end up with a totalitarian government which does not believe in rights for anybody except the state. Nehemiah said it was a time to arise and to build. And then in the midst of the building, he said, I want you to fight. Fight for your brothers. Fight for your wives. Fight for your sisters, your houses. I'm telling you, it's a time to advance, church. It's a time for us to advance. Advance where? Through the gates of society. Go. Go through. Go through the gates. Go through the gates. Prepare the way. Move out the stones. The Lord is coming with recompense. He's coming with reclamation. And this will lead to a transformation of the land. Here's what I want to do. If you've not first gone through the gate of Christ, that narrow gate called Christ, you'll never be able to go and possess the gates of the enemy, because the enemy's gates already possesses you. It's time for you to come out of the enemy's gate, go through the gate called Christ. If you're here and you're questioning, I don't know where I'm at, then that's enough. You need to come through the gate. Through the gate. Jesus said in John 10 that he was the door. No man can enter in. If any man tries to enter in any other way, he's the same as the thief and the robber. You must come through Jesus to get to the Father. You must come through the blood that was on the doorpost. You must come through the blood of Jesus, who is the gate. Come on. Amen. Amen. Some of you need to come through the gate of praise. You've had a garment of heaviness. You've been carrying heaviness. The Lord's like, heaviness is not your portion. Gate of praise is what you're called through. So you need to enter the gate of thanksgiving and praise. So if that's you, I want you to make your way around this altar. Next is wisdom is crying out. I hope those have ears to hear right now that wisdom is crying out from the gate. She's beckoning you for strategy right now. There's a gate called economy, and there's wisdom for the economy. Hallelujah. Wisdom is crying out from the gate of economy, saying, I have strategies for you. I have strategies for you to posture your business so far ahead. Go through. Go through the gate. Prepare the way for other businesses. Go through. Go through the gate. Don't just stare at it and be, oh, that's a beautiful gate, and become paralyzed and lame at the gate. Yes, there's adversity. Yes, there's adversaries on the other side of the gate. But there's also the advancement of the kingdom. And he's all, the all-sufficient one has filled you with all sufficiency to advance. Don't worry about the mocking. Don't worry about the reputation. Come on. Hallelujah. Just stay right here for a minute. Don't push. Just stay right here.
All right. Thank you guys for listening to this episode. Thank you for receiving the teaching on part two of A Time to Advance. This is leading into another level of stewarding the revelation. We're going to get into the next couple of weeks. We're going to get into a message called Recompense and Reclamation. During a worship night in the month of May, our first, we do on first Friday of every month, we have a worship night where we just set the month in order, seek him first for that month and kind of give him a first fruits in a way, of our time on the first Friday of every month. And so we just worship and host presence. And out of that, the Lord releases wisdom, insight, revelation, strategies, and blueprints, all kinds of things. It's amazing. So, and if you're in the area, please come. Please feel free to come. If you're vacationing here in Pigeon Forge, if you're in the area and it ends up being the first Friday of the month, come see us at Summit. Come worship with us there. And for that matter, come worship with us on, any Sunday or Wednesday as well. So, be sure to check our time. You can go to summitchurchtn.com and check our schedule and times and messages. But anyway, the Lord gave us this word about recompense and reclamation during the first Friday worship night. And so we're going to pick up on those messages over the next few episodes. So again, thanks for tuning in. God has a remnant. That remnant has a voice. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more episodes and ways to partner with us, please go to remnantvoice.tv or email info@remnantvoice.tv. Please join us again soon for another exciting message from Pastor Jason Armstrong.